Hello, listeners. Here is a little taste of what we are doing over on patreon.com/timepop. If you would like more from us, head on over and check it out. I am forming the Voltron of Patreons with exclusive episodes from Time Pop and Thank the Light. I think we are all wonderful and delightful people, and you should enjoy our discussions regardless of the inciting media. And for $3 right now, you can get 6 exclusive episodes and be in prime position to receive 2 new shows every month for 1 low price. Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast, is discussing the mindfuckery films that don't quite fit into the time travel category, such as Everything Everywhere All at Once, Idiocracy, and Into the Spider-Verse. And Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, is talking about other fantasy movies and unfairly comparing them to the Wheel of Time book and Amazon Prime series, such as The Princess Bride, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves, and Beastmaster. If you enjoy these hosts and their conversations, there is a free feed containing over 100 episodes and counting for your enjoyment. Find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, and Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. Now enjoy this taste of our offering at patreon.com/timepop. Earthquake in Brooklyn, like New York is shutting down, right?
Yeah.
Like earthquake.
Well,
like a volcano could go off in Brooklyn with less fanfare.
Whatever's going on in that room where the device is,
yeah,
it seems like it's mostly contained to the room, although the city gets like overtaken and changed.
But they keep saying, if you listen to the news reports in the background, they keep saying like, oh, and like they don't really say it out. Well, they at one point, I think they say like, oh, did you feel that earthquake last night?
Yeah.
But there's,
it's shaking the whole city, right, from that one building.
They're calling them earthquakes. And that's like a tornado hitting Berkeley.
Yeah. No, there's not a lot of earthquakes in Berkeley. Yeah, you're right. They're pretty nonchalant. I like that you're trying to find holes in this. I can't find holes. It's so good. There's very little holes. I think you've mentioned the only two now that I can think of.
Well, the fact that they mention it is good enough, like, because it is, like, it is weird that they're not freaking out more that there's earthquakes, but they're laying the groundwork that there's some shit going on in the city. Like, because, yeah, we know that's not normal.
This is a city that Spider-Man's been a hero of and all these villains. They're used to, like, buildings being toppled and fights and supervillains. They're used to all kinds of wacky shit.
And listen, he's going to say, you have 24 hours. Can I just tell you how happy I am that I love Jake Johnson so much.
Kills it.
So
good.
He's one of those guys that's just so great, and it's obvious he has a great voice, and it never would have occurred to me before seeing this that he should be doing more animation. Like, you have a beautiful face too, Jake. I'm not saying you have a face for radio, but you have a voice for animation without a doubt, and I hope we get a lot more of you.
Right. They could have went with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guy. Otherwise,
have they been in a movie together? They better have.
Oh my God. Mr. Scratchy Voices meets Scratchy Voice.
Just too short.
Or Christian Slater in the film too while you're at it. Yeah, you got to have more people out there. It can't be Will Arnett in every animated film. And Chris Pratt. It can't be the only ones. Chris Pratt and Will Arnett are not the only two.
And Will has just reminded me of Will Arnett and Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock. You guys could have a talking like this contest.
Oh, it's so good. This film is so good.
It's so good.
Definitely up there with top multiverse films. You know, they don't get too much into the science of it. They just show that there's a million different universes where things happen and how just like Everything Everywhere at All at Once, it can border on ridiculous. Some of these universes are black and white.
What is What is Green Goblin doing at the beginning? He's doing, when he kills Chris Pine Parker, he's doing some kind of a bidding for Doc Ock and Kingpin.
I don't think Doc Ock's not in that first. It's just he's working for Kingpin.
No, but he's working for them, though, right?
For Kingpin, yeah. And he's all super yoked up in a giant. Maybe that's the more modern Green Goblin. I don't know. I only know the classic.
He was a monster. That was not a dude in a suit.
No, I know. It was Green Goblin, but I don't know if like what they did to him or what kind of modern day Green Goblin.
My only curiosity is like they were already like Spider-Man was trying to shut down. Because at some when I first watched it, I was like, oh, they're just having a fight just so we can get some action. And then I realized that Green Goblin is already chasing Spider-Man away from the Collider. And then so they fight, blah, blah, blah. They turn on Kingpin and Doc Ock. I can't remember what her not Doc Ock name is. Catherine Hahn. Turn on the Collider. And then the reason why the Spider-Men get sucked in. This is another thing I didn't realize until I was just watching it before we started recording. I was rewatching it again. It's because Spider-Man gets shoved. Peter Parker gets shoved into the Collider.
Yes, that's why the other ones get summoned. Yeah,
and so that's what sends out the beacon or whatever to somehow suck in more Spider-Man.
Yeah,
weird.
So it says, why does Green Goblin look different in the Spider-Verse? Because this is based on the Ultimate version in the 1610 universe, which is the home universe of Miles Morales. And the death of Ultimate Peter Parker, a partial inspiration. So again, even in the comics, they've got these altered realities in different universes.
Yeah.
They said instead of making him Hulk size, though, they made him King Kong size in this one. Just to make it more menacing.
Well, because fucking Kingpin is the side of a house anyway. So if he's going to have a henchman, it's got... Kingpin is, pardon the pun, comically large.
In the comics, he's also, yeah... pretty comically large, though.
I love that, like, for some reason, they have him getting out of a vehicle a lot. And they always see the vehicle pulling up, and they cut away, and then they cut back, and Kingpin is out of the vehicle. Because they're like, we can't... How do we animate this guy getting out?
This is animated. It's like, you could do this. You could figure it out.
You could, but he would, like...
Yeah. When he reserves a table at a restaurant, he needs two seats for himself.
When he sits around the house, he sits around.
When he goes on an airplane, it's got to be like a full row. When he shops, he's got to go to like Don's Big and Tall's Big and Tall.
Multiple rows. He's big front and back, too. He's got to get all three seats and the three in front. It's like Hightower in Police Academy. You just rip the front seat out if he's driving because he's sitting in the back.
I've never seen him, but like I've always seen him as the one who's like pulling the strings and making the calls. I haven't seen him like beat some, like, it seems like he's kind of pretty strong in this and like made of like rock-like material.
Yeah. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Hey, everyone, I just cut all this silence out so you don't know that I'm staring at my TV hitting the fast forward button. Come on. I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagle's flying higher in.